Welcome in to Take the Shot Pod. I'm here with Nick. I'm Alec. And Nick, today I went to the gym with the goal of going 2 hours on the Stairmaster at level 15 because my sister's boyfriend said he could do that and I wanted to challenge myself to do that. So I want to ask you a question and get started. What is the most unreachable fitness goal that you would like to do? It doesn't involve basketball because I know you would say I want to be an NBA player or something.
Well, nah, well, I was kind of going somewhere with that.
It can involve training for basketball, but
Yeah, I know you hate Barstool, but they love doing punishments. One of the ones that they were thinking about doing was like basically recreating LeBron's scoring like his 40,000 points, but you got to score all 40,000 points just like he did it. So you'd have to do like all the layups, all the threes, all the free throws, and I think like probably like all the mid-rangers or whatever.
How many? But this is like a situation where I don't know if that could be done in 2 hours or it could be done in like 5 days.
It would take.
I feel like probably it would take 5 days.
I don't feel like it'd take 5 days, but it'd probably take a couple.
I'd be down to do that. You know, I love Bron. I think my fitness goal that is probably unattainable, but I want to do is I really want to like do a half marathon in under an hour and 15 minutes, but the world record is 56 minutes and my PR is 2 hours and 26 minutes. So I don't think I'm going to get there at all. But what if don't you think it'd feel awesome to run that fast? You feel like you're gliding in the air.
Just basically. Fucking hate running, though.
Well, sometimes I do.
Just running just to run fucking sucks. Like, if I'm running for, like, a purpose, like, playing, like, a sport, like, basketball, football, even, like, soccer, like, that's more fun than just, like, just running.
I'm going to hate myself for saying this, but you got to get that natural runner's high, man. It's awesome. Once you get that, you just go. And then you see the improvements. And I already hate myself
High is that you're fucking done. That's the only high you get. It's like, oh, fuck, I'm fucking.
But then you're proud of yourself. It's natural to be proud of yourself after that. Or you can kind of be like me and hate yourself because you did it a little too slow. But that's the war with your brain. Running is all mental.
Yeah.
Because you can do it.
You just got to keep going. Got to keep pushing.
Yeah. But I feel like you have the more fun, unattainable fitness goal. I actually think it's attainable. We should do that. You know, actually, later on in this podcast history, we're probably going to sit here and make predictions about a game. We're going to be both very passionate about something.
I feel like that.
I feel like we're going to bet each other something. Yeah. And that should be one of our punishments. We're just going to rip off.
For that, we'll do it when LeBron officially retires. That way, you can actually fully do, like, everything. Just because, like, he's still technically, like, on a running clock. Unless you want to do like Kareem or someone that's like already retired and done, but
not really.
LeBron's probably would be more fun just because like Kareem, it would just be a lot of inside shots. He wouldn't like have any threes or anything like that.
I don't know if I can do all those running sky hooks. I don't think I could.
Well, you can't do it exactly like he did because like I'm not gonna I can't fucking dunk it LeBron. So it's like I'll just have to like lay it up, but
yeah. Well, we just got to work on our verticals. Like, that's what our grind is in the summers in spring training session. But last night, we watched Lakers Nuggets, and we watched LeBron and Luka have their first pretty good game together. What are your thoughts on the game?
Well, it was Luka's first good game as Laker, so I was glad to see that Nico wasn't completely right on that trade. But it was good. LeBron and Luka doing a lot of the rebounding, but that's probably how it's going to have to be just because Jackson Hayes' ass. Yeah. They've got no other bigs behind them. They're not playing Alex Lynn.
I told you this last night, but the one thing that this makes me think is and feel is just being sad that the Mark Williams trade didn't work out because I can see the vision of if these guys both clicked, if Luka played his fat ass into shape, they had a chance to make a run because I keep telling you and I keep telling everybody that this is the year to get the Rockets, the Thunder, the young teams in the East before they actually go through the struggle and get to the top. We see throughout history in the NBA, the young teams, they have to run into some trouble before they go to the top. You saw the Timberwolves. They were all cocky last year. They thought they'd beat the Mavs. Afterwards, Anthony and Kat were both like, this is a whole different ballgame.
The Vision's good. It's just, I don't think Mark Williams was the right player. Plus,
I know they would still have to. At least he's better than Jackson Hayes.
Most likely, they would still have to beat Denver, and I don't actually see that happening.
But at least he's better than Jackson Hayes.
Yeah, the reason they won that game was because they took care of the ball, and Denver literally just kept shooting themselves in the foot over and over again, just because they fucking hate the Lakers. But I know, like, in the playoffs, like Mike Malone, he'll actually like be on their ass and like. I feel like Mike Malone brings out the whip anytime that they lose to the Lakers, because I know he fucking hates that team. Well, and he wants to beat him.
You know who else
wants to beat him down like every fucking time?
You know who else brings out the whip?
LeBron.
Yes, but also J.J. Redick, because he's clearly a better coach than Pockets. And guess what?
Well, that's not a high standard.
I know it's not a high standard, but you know what? You had to replace him with somebody.
Yeah.
And it could have been worse. You could have Darvin Ham Jr. as head coach, okay? I don't know.
Could have Monty.
Monty's a good coach. His brain broke in 2022, like the whole rest of the Suns. And something.
And that's why he started Killian Hayes over Jaden Ivey?
Listen, there's a lot that goes into that. They were both high draft picks. It was probably some GM pressure. And, you know.
Bro, who the fuck is pressuring? Who the fuck is pressuring Monty to play Killian Hayes over Jaden Ivey, where Jaden Ivey's actually showing potential and promise?
The person and who drafted Killian Hayes
is literally doing that. The person who
drafted Killian Hayes is pressuring him to play Killian Hayes.
I don't think they're that tied to that pick.
Well, this is what happens when you take a player high. You want to make it work. And then...
But you're the coach. You want to win. It's ultimately your decision.
The front office controls your job. I know they give him a big contract, but clearly those contracts don't matter when they just
fire him after a year. Monty was literally trying to get fired after a year. That's my theory. He was literally playing Killian Hayes so he would get fired.
I don't know. But
he was actively sabotaging Kate's career. And it was actually kind of pissed me off, but Kate's on the right track now, so I'm happy again.
I told you, J.B. Bickerstaff's a good coach. You got to listen.
No, I know he's a good coach.
I'm the coaching expert on this pod, okay? I know my stuff when it comes to coaches.
All right, when did I say he was a bad coach, though?
I don't know.
Like, he was fine. Like, he was a good coach. Like, he was good for the Cavs. It's just...
They all kind of hated him, though. I've seen a lot of stuff where they just, like, throw him under the bus and, like, subtweet him, in a way, in the media, and just, like, talk about how Kenny Atkinson's so much better, which, I mean, you're going to get that always with coaches, for the most part, in the first year, when things are good. But J.B. Bickerstaff, clearly a good coach. But with the going back to the Lakers Nuggets game, I think Rui going out. Have we heard the prognosis of what happened to him?
I have not. Let me look it up real quick. But
I will just say in the meantime, while Nick's looking that up, that Rui needs to step up. Clearly, someone needs to step up in AD's place. No one's going to be AD on the offensive or defensive end that's currently on the team, but. If anybody needs to step up on the team, it's not Jackson Hayes, because Jackson Hayes clearly has a lack of offensive talent and honestly just needs to focus on defense and fixing his running form. That's neither here nor there. But Rui needs to step up on defense for the most part. I don't have a cough button, so one day I will.
Nah, but they said Rui's fine, so hopefully... So hopefully he plays the next game, but...
He kind of Paul Pierce that then, because usually if a player just walks straight off the floor right away without even talking to the bench, something bad happened. But, I don't know. I've been in the gym before where I feel like something really bad happened, and then like 30 seconds later I feel fine. So, you know, happens, I guess. But yeah, Rui, I think, needs to step up. The Lakers, man, they're role players. They miss so many wide-open threes, and I get their role players for a reason. But Dorian Finney-Smith, man, you're wide open. You got the easiest job in the world. Just play defense and wait till Bron hits you in the chest with a good pass wide open to shoot a three. Make the three. It's not that hard.
Now, once they get that chemistry, though, it'll start clicking. We'll Gabe Vincent, I don't know, but I have more faith in DFS.
We'll see, I guess. But they do have solid wings. Vandy's back. Vandy's a big influence, even though he plays 3 minutes and commits three fouls. But honestly, if I guess this is bad, but if AD was still here, you can just send Jared Vanderbilt out and not worry about fouls. Just play your ass off for however long you can stay out there.
But as I was saying, assuming everyone's healthy, like if you can get Luka, LeBron, Vandy. Rui and Austin Reaves lineup. That's a pretty big lineup. It's not like they don't really have anyone in guard center, but other than that, you're pretty much playing pretty big at almost every other position.
True, and it's a very switchable still have lineup. To probably face Jokic,
and you could space him out five. You can space him out five wide.
Yeah, but you still have to face Jokic. You have to face maybe Jaren Jackson Jr., who doesn't rebound, but he's still big.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
Chet Holmgren.
The biggest problem on that team would be Edie, but because like Jaren Jackson, they're fine.
I mean, not Zach Edie. I'll worry about him when he makes me worry about him.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. The biggest problem would be Edie if he can take over, but that's still yet to be seen.
Yeah, I don't know.
We'll Jokic, see. Jokic is what they have to worry about.
Well, for sure, but I mean, honestly, they're in the, what are they, 5 seed right now?
Or are they 4 seed? I think they're still the 5.
Well, they have to not play the Nuggets in the first round, that's for sure. So, if there's a way
to... Oh, actually, no, they moved up to the 4, Denver's 3, Memphis at 2, OKC 1.
Yeah, if there's a way they can dip the Nuggets, if it comes down to that, they got to dip the Nuggets, just tank the games.
If they stay in the top 4 with the Nuggets, they won't play them in the first round.
Well, yeah, but the West is deep, man, and the Lakers, you saw on the Jazz and Hornets, like, they let the Jazz and Hornets run them because they couldn't stop anything at the rim. So it may be a little tougher to, I know Luka's obviously going to keep getting better and better, but it may be a little tougher to pull all these wins out and string them along. So we'll see, but.
No, definitely. What? Yeah. Now, Luka's good. It was actually good seeing him, though. Like, he was actually, like, hitting his threes, like, everything.
Yeah, he had the cockiness back. Yeah. He played good last night.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe, like, the first couple of games. Again, the trade was completely unexpected. It completely caught him off guard. So, maybe, like, just even the personal aspect, maybe he just wasn't mentally in those games as much as he should have been.
Yeah, but if you think about it, they have... I mean, Cam Reddish doesn't play, but they have two other players on the bench, too, that probably aren't mentally in the game right now. Dalton's going to go through it where he's a rookie. He's probably, basketball-wise, a little immature still because he's a rookie, even though he's old. And he just has to feel through
his feelings. Well, he was a late bloomer, too.
Yeah. But, they have to get through that and just build up the chemistry again. And so far, it looks pretty good, but... We'll see. The Knicks and Celtics play today if we go over to the East. What is your main take on that game?
Not looking good for us right now. Boston has the Knicks number, and I guess preseason we were kind of counting on them to be the one to beat the Celtics because the Celtics literally just got the easiest path ever last year. Don't even remember who won that championship because I refuse to recognize it.
Yeah, I don't either. It didn't happen.
But
they just canceled the 2024 NBA Finals. So,
but the Cavs, they actually look like they probably are the best match for the Celtics just because Evan Mobley, he can definitely guard like Tatum or Brown if he needs to. I'm assuming he's probably going to be on Tatum. Probably put Hunter on Brown. Then I guess Garland and Mitchell that he's got to hold up against. White and Holiday, then
yeah, but
I guess
they can,
Jared Allen
White
probably
and
be
are pretty good at defense, and they can just try to take.
But what? I guess White might be a little bit more of a problem on offense, but at this point, I don't really think Drew's gonna do much on. He's not gonna do much on offense. More, I feel like Drew does his most damage, like just attacking like the offensive glass now.
Yeah,
and just like attacking the paint. But
I don't know. I don't know. The East is bad. Clearly, I think the Celtics have been in like fuck around mode because I know we say it didn't happen, but a lot of people that made deep playoff runs last year really flipped the switch until later in the season, and I think they're probably going to flip the switch pretty soon.
Yeah.
But then you have the Knicks who just got their backs blown out today. And look, Tibbs, why are you playing your guys 36 minutes in a blowout when it's clearly a blowout? Rest him, man. Josh Hart just came back from injury. You don't need to play that dude 41 minutes. How long are we going to do this? I was on your side last year because I think there's some benefit to getting these guys reps. But, brother, if it's a blowout, you are crazy. If it's close, Yeah, send him out there. No. It's like a pitcher going past 95 pitches. If it's a seventh inning of a game and he's cruising, and maybe your bullpen's tired, yeah, stretch it out to 110 pitches. But if it's a blowout, first of all, the pitcher wouldn't be in the game because it's a blowout. Or even if your team is up 7-0 and you're in the seventh inning and it's July, and he's at 85 pitches and just take him out, man.
If it's a no-hitter, I feel like that's usually different, though.
Well, true, but yeah. That's just an example. You gotta know the situation. Tibbs, clearly, we have a track record of you not knowing the situation.
But you really just quickly, I'm just going to say, I listen to Jeff Teague's pod, too. Like, the thing he says about Tibbs is that, like, Tibbs literally wants to win every single fucking game. I feel like that's just him being like a combative psycho, and literally, like, even if we think it's out of reach, he's still gonna like keep playing it out, keep trying to like claw back.
Saying you can't, like, but you don't think JJ Redick is not a competitive psycho who just wants to win every game? You don't think Charles Lee in Charlotte is a competitive psycho?
There's definitely levels to it.
Yes, but you gotta have self-awareness, man.
But sometimes with that, you don't.
I mean, that's what makes him different, though.
Like, that's what makes him different.
I mean, they also should be better than they are. So maybe that's his fault too. You just got to do better at coaching.
Yeah,
and maybe using your bench and not wearing all your players down would help you a little bit. I'm not saying don't give Mikal Bridges 30 minutes a game. I'm saying he's in the offseason. He's got to get in the gym and fix that shot because that shot's broken, even though it's going in more. But, like, I'm not saying don't give Jalen Brunson 30 minutes a game, but I'm saying I wouldn't give Campaign that many minutes, but give Miles McBride some more minutes.
Yeah.
Get Jalen off his feet.
Deuce is the one that needs more minutes because he's actually pretty good, and, like, I felt like he had a pretty good run, like, with the Knicks, like, in the playoffs last year. Like, he was definitely, like, making plays.
Oh, yeah, he was. I think...
And I trust him way more than Campaign.
Oh, yeah. Campaign... You don't know if he's going to give you 15 and 4, or if he's going to go 0 for 7 and turn the ball over 5 times. He's one of those players.
But shout out to Campaign. He actually made a pretty good NBA career out of himself. Like,
he was a lottery pick.
Yeah. But
why are we saying that? It's not like he's like a second rounder who overcame, like...
For a while, like, literally all he was known as was just for, like, dapping up Westbrook on the sideline.
That's true. But, yeah, he did. He was like a bubble reclamation project. He came to the... Yeah. He signed right, like, a couple weeks before COVID. Played good in, like, 2 games before the shutdown. And then the bubble Suns went on their, whatever, 8-0 run or whatever they did to not make the playoffs. And Campaign made himself a rotational player and got himself a big contract, too. So, I guess you're right. Shout out to Campaign for battling through struggles. But going back to the East... Who's like a sleeper team that's not the Celtics, Knicks, or Cavs that you could see if everything clicks? The Magic. Clicks, why do we have to do this?
You asked for a sleeper team. It's obvious. The Magic, they got 2 stars. Jalen Suggs is like the key to that team. I feel like he's actually the one like holding that team together because like
2 stars.
That's when they really fell off was when he got injured, but. He's a great point of attack defender. He's much improved as a 3-point shooter. Pretty good playmaker, but...
2 stars is debatable.
All right. But Franz was playing like a star when Paolo was hurt. You gotta admit that. Like, Franz definitely would have been in consideration for an all-NBA team if he didn't also tear his oblique, which is kind of insane that your 2 stars both tore their obliques.
But... Look, guys, I will always try to give you some substance in my takes and try to be detailed and smart and analytical and all that, but the Orlando Magic are never going to win a championship, and that's just a given. That organization is destined for mediocrity.
I didn't say they're going to win a championship, but you just asked for a sleeper team.
Well, there's got to be a better one out there, and you know who mine is?
All right, who's yours?
The Milwaukee Bucks. Shout out Doc Rivers. Santel changed him.
Shout out NBA Santel. Yeah. Doc Rivers finally started taking coaching seriously.
No, but for real, like, you still have Giannis and you still have Dame. Dame is kind of wavering between decline and that stuff. But I think they still have... I know they're getting old, like Brook Lopez, not good anymore. Bobby Portis has been in for 25 games, but if he can get back and they can get that chemistry rolling again, like, they got a good shot to get in, like, they got a good shot to win a couple of
games. Right, no, as long as you have Giannis on your team, you always have a shot.
Yeah, Giannis just have to that go, good. But Giannis has to, like, take his game to, like, above even probably 2022 levels.
Yeah, I think Giannis is the second best player in the NBA.
Seriously?
Yeah. No, I think it's Jokic 1, Giannis 2, probably put Shea 3, then probably Luka 4.
Interesting. I did not think, maybe top 5, but not top 3 at this point.
Oh, yeah. No, because Giannis still can be a demon on defense. He's better, like, as a help side defender than, like, on ball, but, and, like, who the fuck is stopping Giannis in the paint, like?
No one in the East.
Yeah.
I mean, well, Mobley could, but Mobley's still, he needs to gain some weight probably to do that. Yeah. And it's still Giannis.
I still think Giannis would overpower Mobley.
Yeah, but.
You probably have to put, like, Allen on him, then, like, have Mobley help.
Yeah. The Cavs-Bucks would be a good series, though. Hopefully the standings and the seedings line up to good series, and they don't just, it's not like the old days in the East when it was just, like, everybody runs through everybody, you know, they're not interested in series at all.
Yeah. The East has gotten a little bit better. I'll give it credit for that, but yeah, it's still mostly
the problem with the East is, like, there's so many disappointing teams. Shout out 76ers, who went all in on two stars that are very injury prone, and wow, shocker, they both have been bad this year. Or not bad, but they both haven't played that much this year, and the team itself is very bad.
Yeah, Tyrese Maxey's the only bright spot on that team.
Yeah. But speaking of the playoffs, what are some of our favorite playoff memories?
Favorite playoff memories? He's definitely got the old Kobe ones, him beating the Suns, beating the Celtics in the finals.
I feel like that's our favorite era of basketball, right? About that 2010s.
I'd probably say like the LeBron Curry series. Those were always fun.
One of them was. The rest of them weren't.
It was still always fun. Plus, we literally got it for like 4 years in a row. So it's like, I don't know.
I mean, it was our generation's Bird versus Magic, basically. Yeah. And then Kevin Durant had to come ruin it, but. That's a debate that we can get into in, like, June when nothing's going on in sports besides baseball.
But that was a situation that will most likely never happen again. Like, the cap's going up, but they're literally implementing cap smoothing this time just so no one can sign, like, a Kevin Durant again.
Yeah, but you know what was fun? The Thunder in, like, 2010 through 2012.
Oh, yeah.
And you know what our favorite thing is to do as sports fans? Just think of random basketball players from long ago, or even current basketball players. Nick, name four. I don't know why I'm going four. Name four of the most random basketball players you can think of off the top of your head right now.
Well, because you said that Thunder team, Thabo Sepulosa for sure. Chase Buttinger. That's random as fuck.
He was in the dunk contest once, and he also plays beach volleyball.
Yeah, I know he's a beach volleyball player now. I forgot he was in the dunk contest. Oh, Nate Robinson.
That's why. Shout out to Nate Robinson. He had some bad kidney problems and got a kidney.
He got like a new kidney, though.
Yeah.
Oh, shout out to Leandro Barbosa. That's random.
Leandro Barbosa, the 7 seconds of less Suns. They were. I'm a Suns fan, unfortunately. And, you know, the back end of. I wasn't really a basketball fan for that era. Until the back end of them, when they kind of fell off towards the Steve Nash got a little bit older, and Shaq was on the team and clearly stepped down.
Oh, yeah.
But they were fun. They changed the game of basketball. They really did. But I have the
crazy thing now, though, is that, like, the 7 second or less Suns, like, their pace would be, like, bottom five in the league right now, which is kind of crazy.
Yeah, crazy. But I have the 2011... 2012 Oklahoma City Thunder roster pulled up, and I want to do a little trivia for you. I want you to name the starting lineup of the 2011-2012 Oklahoma City Thunder.
So I know Harden never was a starter, so it would have had to be Russ, KD. I'm guessing it was Sefolosha with this two guard, Ibaka, and was Perkins on the team at that
point? Oh, yeah. I thought you would mess up with Perkins, but you got it right. Kendrick Perkins was the center. And clearly, as he says, he was the leader of that team.
Okay, bro. KP, shut the fuck up. You were not the leader of that team.
Who was his backup?
Oh, who were the... Oh, fuck. I don't even know. It was Jeff Green. Nah, they traded to Jeff Green.
Jeff Green's not a center.
Who? I don't know. Yeah, I just don't know.
Well, I'll give you a hint. They're both white.
Oh, wait. Nick Collison.
Yes, he was probably backup one. Backup two. This is a good remember this guy.
It's going to be a fucking deep cut. Okay. Trying to think. Who else did they play as a big? Yeah, who would have been the backup?
Well, I'm gonna give you a hint. Kansas big man.
Kansas big man.
Back in our peak college basketball.
Wait, another. Oh, fuck. I can picture his face. Was he like Australian or some shit?
I don't think so.
Like 7 foot white guy though.
Yeah. No, he's from Burnsville, Minnesota.
Burnsville, Minnesota. Oh, my God. I want to say Jay Huff, but I know it's not Jay Huff because he's more recent. If you say his name, I'll remember it, but, like, I can't remember right now.
It was. Insert sound of drum roll. Cole Aldridge.
Oh, I forgot he went to Kansas.
Oh, wow.
Okay, never mind. That's not who
I was thinking. Okay, let's move over to my favorite teams of my favorite basketball era. The Big Three. The Miami Heat. I'm not going to have you name the lineup because there's three of them in there that are pretty easy. But there's one current. Actually, never mind. He got fired. There's one former college basketball coach who was a bench player on the team who barely played. Who was it?
I'm guessing you were originally thinking Juwan Howard, but...
Yeah, I was thinking Juwan Howard. I gave it away when I said he was former and fired.
But there's another one?
Oh, no. That was who I was talking about.
Okay.
There is also... He was a bench player. He's a current GM of an NBA team.
James Jones.
Yes. There's also... This is not going to be for anybody who doesn't live in Omaha. The dad of a Creighton Blue Jay.
Greg McDermott?
No. He played. But he's now the dad of a Creighton...
Now the dad of a Creighton Blue Jay?
Yeah.
Oh, Mike Miller. Yeah. Yes,
that is correct. We also have, where are we at? Oh, I was just going to say, shout out Norris Cole. That's a peak, remember this guy. I love Norris Cole. I thought he was going to be so good. And then he just, shout out to the guys, LeBron James and like star players make into good role players. And then they just go to a different team and fall off completely.
I was going to say shout out to Shabazz Muhammad, but that wasn't the one that they drafted. It was Shabazz Napier. Shout out to Shabazz Napier.
Yeah, LeBron played Pat on that one. Okay, let's move to a completely different era of basketball. Not a completely different era of basketball, but a pretty irrelevant team. In 2015-16, let's look at the Washington Wizards roster.
Oh, God. They were kind of relevant back then.
They were, actually. Can you name... five players from the 2015-2016 Washington Wizards.
John Wall, Brad Beal, Otto Porter. Shit. Who else was on that team? I'm trying to think.
Why you think?
I know Rashawn Holmes wasn't on that team.
That's a little before his time.
No, who? Garrett Temple.
Garrett Temple.
Okay, yes, that's what I was thinking.
Who he played for, All-Star Garrett Temple. They use him every year.
Yeah. Nah, dude, I think he's like on year 16 now, which is crazy. I'm trying to... Who was their big guy? Oh, was Jan Mahimi on that team?
No, but shout out to their big guys who were Marcin Gortat. J.J. Hickson.
Okay.
Another LeBron James role player. That ended up pretty bad. Nene.
Nene was down.
Yeah, Nene. Also, the other player of note. Actually, there's two. Current Mavs assistant, Jared Dudley. Shout out to him. He'll be a head coach someday. And he played at Kansas. He's been passed around the league a couple times, but people consider him a fan favorite everywhere he goes because of the way he looks.
Wait, Kelly Oubre?
Kelly Oubre also played for that team.
Forgot he played for the Wizards.
They were very bad.
Okay, I should have got that one. But,
all right. Last one of our little game here.
I get 4 out of 5 Wizards. That's not too bad.
Last one of our little game here. We're going to move to the 2017-2018 Brooklyn Nets. I'm not going to ask you to name
17-18?
Yeah, I'm not going to ask you to name a single player on the team. But
was D'Lo on that team?
D'Lo was on the team. There was also a lottery pick who went very, very high, who played center, who has done nothing in the league.
Center who went... Well, did they draft that center?
No.
Or did they get him?
No, but this center I'm speaking of just signed a 10-day with the Indiana Pacers out of nowhere. Hasn't been in the league for a while.
How high of a pick was he? Was it like top 5?
2.
Number 2 overall?
2 or 3.
Oh, 2 or 3.
It was Jahlil Okafor.
Jahlil Okafor. Oh.
Also, shout out to Los Angeles Lakers legend, Timofey Mozgov, who was on the team.
Dang.
And one of my personal favorites, Quincy Acey, who's always a remember this guy for no reason other than when you played with him in 2K, he looked intimidating.
Yeah.
And he was just strong as fuck.
Bro, he looked like he was 30 when he played on that Baylor team.
Yeah, he did. But he was fun. He was a fun guy. Also, last two, shout out to two wings who kind of are the same player in that era of like when 3-and-D became more and more popular and more wanted. Alan Crabby, or Crab, whatever his name is. Yes, and DeMar Carroll. Shout out to me for messing up both of those names that are pretty easy names. Can you guess where DeMarre Carroll currently coaches in the NBA?
The Hawks.
No, the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Ooh.
Yes, he's coached the Bucks, the Lakers, and the Cleveland Cavaliers. This has been our segment of Remember These Guys.
Well, just quick, since you brought Quincy Acey, I just fucking remember that team with him. Quincy Miller, Perry Jones.
Perry Jones, that's one of my all-time draft busts. I thought Perry Jones was going to be really, really good.
Yeah.
Was he... Isaiah Austin came way after him, right?
He wasn't like way. He was I think it was a couple years after.
Yeah.
But shout out to Isaiah Austin. He was like a heart condition thing.
Yeah, shout out to Isaiah Austin. You hope like Wimby doesn't become Isaiah Austin or Chris Bosh. Yeah.
It sounds like Wimby with the blood clot. It sounds like it'll just be like a... temporary thing where Chris Bosh, it was like a genetic condition.
No, it happened twice, and once you're on blood thinners, you can't play in the league. It's too much of a risk. Like, I think he could actually physically play, but the NBA like won't let him because if they
you can play. It's just that if you were to start bleeding in that situation, it's just once you're on blood thinners, it's like really hard to stop the bleeding. So
if something bad happens in the court. And they can't have anybody die on the court.
They're not trying to have a fucking... who's the dude that died in the Bills game?
DeMar Hamlin.
DeMar Hamlin, yeah. They're not trying to have DeMar Hamlin on their hands.
The NBA's going through a lot of turmoil right now that's kind of bad PR, I guess, and they don't want that bad PR on their hands. So shout out to the Spurs for recognizing the Victor Wembanyama issue. Hopefully he comes back healthy next year. And... also, hopefully Chris Paul gets bought out and goes to the Knicks because that'd be a good fit. I just want to see it. I know you hate Chris Paul, but Chris Paul needs to get bought out and go somewhere relevant.
Yeah, that's fine.
I guess. But.
Once he gets to the playoffs, he's going to get injured again. And then.
Well, I mean.
It's going to be Chris Paul got injured in the playoffs again.
You can't win them all, man. You can't win them all. Yeah, you can't win them all. And you know what else is a win in sports? MLB and ESPN mutually agreed to opt out of their contract to broadcast MLB games, Sunday Night Baseball.
You did bring that up to me. Okay, I knew you brought that. I didn't know that's exactly what you meant, but yeah, that was actually kind of surprising.
Yeah, MLB made it seem like it was definitely their decision. I think that's partially for PR, because you don't want... It was a mutual option. But it was one of those where if both teams... I know they're both not teams.
Yeah.
But
partners.
If both parties knew something was going to happen, it was always going to be, they're both going to say they're going to opt out.
Yeah.
It was, because otherwise it looks like a bad PR for both of them. But the thing about the contract with MLB is they got a ton of money for ESPN, and the TV rights deals are changing to where their next deal probably is not going to get that much. They're not going to get as much money from it, like Apple TV or Hulu or Amazon, wherever they go, Fox. They're not going to get as much money, but they could get better exposure, because the main thing ESPN was mad about wasn't the games. I mean, Sunday Night Baseball was going to draw what Sunday Night Baseball always did, but they also stopped really covering baseball at all. You saw like a 10-minute segment on SportsCenter with
Stephen A. May talk about it like times a year, but it's not
they
like
used to, like back in the day, like Vintage SportsCenter, when they had the rundown going on, they showed highlights of every game. Now it was just like, okay, we'll take the New York Yankees game, maybe the Mets game, the Dodgers game, and the Cubs game, and that's about it. We're not gonna do baseball tonight anymore. We're just gonna basically report on big things that happen. If Juan Soto signs, we'll talk about it, but that's about it. So MLB has a chance now to go somewhere who can devote more time to the coverage of the game, but a lot of people still think ESPN is the go-to for sports, even though I don't think that's true.
It's definitely the go-to for sports for older people, just because that's what they grew up with and like that's what they know. There isn't really like a good replacement for ESPN right now. Like,
yeah,
you know how I always talk about how shitty the ESPN app is, just because it's literally gotten progressively worse, but there just isn't a good replacement for it now.
They're almost
at the point where they're too big to fail, but there will probably...
I think ESPN's in trouble.
Yeah.
No, I actually think MLB's right on this, but I think that...
I guess... The problem is, just don't know who yet, but someone probably will come in and actually, like, disrupt ESPN.
Yeah, but I think the problem is that... Say they take Sunday Night Baseball to Apple TV or Amazon. You have to get those... You have to get Prime. You have to buy Apple TV.
Yeah.
And I don't know if the market is there where that's going to move the needle a lot. You know, I don't know if Apple TV is looking at all the reports, all the demographic, all the data, and analyzing that and saying, you know how many subscribers want a game because we got Sunday Night Baseball and two playoff games? Wow. Let's spend a ton of money. And then also give you like a baseball show, a baseball tonight, like that, like ESPN had, and give you more coverage. I don't know if they're going to be able to maybe make a TV channel. Apple has MLS, and it could have MLB in the future.
Yeah, what happened with the Apple MLB thing? Because I know Apple did have it. Do they still have MLB?
They still have a game.
Okay. They still have like a Friday night game?
Yeah, they still have that. And I think Roku has a game every Saturday. You know, Amazon's going to try to get them, just like NBA. But the problem is, football and the NBA have the advantage because since ESPN has those college football games, since they have NBA rights, they're going to talk about college football and NBA. The NFL, kind of rigged. They only have one game.
Wait, let me ask you this. Do you think the fact that basically football has become like a 12-month sport, basketball also a 12-month sport, do you think that's hurting baseball? Because usually in that time in the summer, like, I guess kind of right after free agency, like July to like August, where like you're just starting to get in like training camps and stuff for football, you probably get like a lot of like prime baseball talk.
I think there's a lot of...
But even now then, you're still getting like more like free agency stuff. You're getting like summer league. Then like football's already picking up. You're getting like contract talks. Like people are talking about the Cowboys and what the Cowboys are going to do, because Jerry Jones loves to make himself known. Like, do you think like that's been a thing that's like really hurt baseball?
There's a lot of issues. Number one, pace of play. Baseball's not a game that moves fast, but neither is football.
But they have work to fix that.
There's like 16 minutes of actual action time in a 2.5 hour football game. So that's kind of an excuse people use just because they think baseball's boring. Number two, they don't know how to market the game the best way. Number three, their stars, for the most part, are either Japanese, Dominican, who can't speak very good English, or very, very boring and white. They don't have anybody who's transcendent. Number four, there's a lot of...
But I feel like American baseball, they purposely try to kill the fun. Because, like, yeah, if you look at, like...
A lot of that stuff was, like, 2008 through, like, 2012, and now there's just, like, people bat flip all the time. People do shit. Like, they don't get mad at that anymore. Okay. You can have your one... You can have your one hair... One here and there where some red-ass redneck catcher is going to be pissed off you bat-flipped.
Yeah, I don't watch as much baseball as you, but I feel like baseball still kind of has like that stigma to it.
No, and honestly, if there's tension for any game, like you saw the hockey game, this is you really probably don't want political tension because I think a lot of that's political tension, but that tension for both those countries, the U.S. and Canada, that makes games fun. Give me a rival. Have a Cubs pitcher hit a Cardinals player, whether it's on purpose and by accident or by accident, and then they retaliate. There's one of those fake little brawl things where no one's going to hit anybody, but they get out there. There's extra juice to the game. Give us more storylines. Figure out a way to make it about the game. There's so many good young baseball players.
Do we need another cheating scandal?
What?
Do we need another cheating scandal?
We probably don't want another cheating scandal.
I don't know.
We don't want
people got pretty hyped when...
Honestly, here's a hot take. Let them do steroids. Let people hit dingers, man. People love dingers. Give us a home run chase again. Give us a Shohei chasing Barry Bonds number against Aaron Judge and Juan Soto and Bobby Witt Jr. and Gunnar Henderson and Kyle Tucker. And give us that chase. That would get people back in. But you know what you can't do? Remember when Aaron Judge had that fake record like 2 years ago and they were breaking in college football games to show him in bats?
Wait, what was the fake record?
It was 61 because it was the AL.
Okay.
But people didn't want to count Barry Bonds or Mark McGwire or
something. Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah. I know what you're saying.
So they tried to like. Baseball loved this.
Yeah, I know they were like, marketing that as a record though. I do remember that.
But that was some dumb shit. No one fell for that. No one cared besides old white people.
To be fair, I don't even know the baseball record. So I'm like the casual look.
Yeah,
for baseball.
But give us those chases. People are gonna buy it. You're gonna see. It's not. It may not catch the center of the universe like it did in 1998 when they had that home run chase. But people, because baseball is not as popular now, but people would tune in. That's what gets people going in sports. If Barry Bonds is hitting 755 and passing Hank Aaron as all time home run record, people are gonna tune in. It's like LeBron passing Kareem. More people tuned into that game versus OKC. When OKC... Was it OKC?
Which game?
When he passed Kareem, it was OKC.
Oh, yeah, man, that was the OKC game.
More people tuned into that game than who would have not, because LeBron James was about to pass that record. Like, it just that's what happens. So give us more storylines. Make records more attainable. The only way you can do that is make him do steroids or let him do steroids again. There's a lot of stuff. But the risk is that ESPN... is a direct, like they're on cable, basically. You have to get their package, but it's not as hard to get ESPN as it is to say, okay, Sunday Night Baseball, do I really want to buy this $9.99 streaming that's going to hike their prices up to like $15.99 in 2 months and buy that just to watch Sunday Night Baseball when my team may not play? Am I really going to buy some Hulu for $20.99 for the whole year because Hulu runs this baseball program that gives you highlights like Baseball Tonight? I don't know if that's going to move the needle. So it's a risk. But I also think ESPN takes the risk too, because at some point, college football is going to run into the same problem baseball and NBA is kind of currently doing, where their product takes a hit. It's not as fun to watch. There's bad PR where people are saying the NBA is dying, hockey is blowing up. At the end of the day, these leagues are going to be fine. There may be a little dip and ebb and flow, but ESPN, I think they need to get back to more be the center of sports than what they're doing now. Because now if you turn on ESPN, if it's not a game, who's watching those programs?
Yeah, I don't really know who's watching. I'm assuming it's gonna be an older demographic of who is watching that, but yeah,
but you can't sell to the older.
Yeah, I'm not
you don't
watching.
Sell to the older demographic because that's baseball's program. Baseball's program or baseball's mindset is, or baseball's fan base, sorry, is old people. Old people eventually are going to die.
Plus, like, if there was anything good, like SportsCenter, I feel like SportsCenter is just very vanilla, but like if there's anything good that happens on like First Take or Get Up, you'll just get like the highlight on Twitter anyway. So it's like,
yeah, but I feel
there's no point in like even like watching like a 2 or 3 hour show.
I feel like SportsCenter is not even SportsCenter anymore. SportsCenter, you still get takes from like, you don't get the highlights. Unless like it's NFL or college football related. You don't like get like an actual highlight reel.
Well, I can't even tell you last time I watched SportsCenter. That's what I'm
saying.
I don't even know.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
If you get back to like this pure, give me all 16 NFL games, condensed highlights, no analyst, people are going to watch that. If you give me all, like, not all, because there's too many teams in college football. If you put the top 25, all those games on there, and give us just the highlights, and you don't have some dumbass spewing takes,
people
are going to watch that.
Wait, follow me on this. So, you know Amazon, they're getting in the NBA. Wasn't there, like, talk about Amazon getting into college football?
I think Amazon and Apple are all competing on trying to get as
but
much
if like Amazon gets into if they even get into baseball, then they got two of the three major sports,
and they already have some. They already have Thursday Night Football.
Oh yeah, and they do. They got Thursday Night Football too. So they could. Do they just take over ESPN? Or are they the ones to actually like fix it? And
because
if they have the rights from the leagues, then they can also like they could create like their own like sports app and like. Basically just what the ESPN app is, but probably actually make it, like, 10 times better.
Anybody can. The only thing that
But will Amazon do it? Because right now, they're probably, like, the only ones that probably can do it right now.
Oh, Apple.
Because the hardest thing is just getting the rights of the league to, like, post, like, all the stats and stuff.
Yeah, that's... It's going to be interesting, but I think that...
It's either going to be, like, them or, like, a gambling company.
Yeah, we've seen ESPN go, like, they've had to make cuts. They're on the top of the mountain still.
Well, it's because they're paying Stephen A. like $20 million a year.
Yeah, but they're losing. A ton of people have the same opinion as us, where they're just like, if it's not a game, ESPN is not on my TV.
Yeah.
And, like, it used to, we were kids this, when it was, like, ESPN was the best, and we were just like, we'd watch PTI and Around the Horn and First Take. And SportsCenter, and we just have it on the background all day. That's not what ESPN is anymore.
Yeah, for me, I just listen to people that work at ESPN just for like their information. So like, I listen to like certain reporters or certain analysts. Like, I listen to their podcasts to get like information from them. But I'm not like watching them on ESPN. I'm just more listening to like their ESPN product.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see where ESPN goes because. I think over the next 5 years, you're going to see everything shift more even away from ESPN and more towards streaming, even though streaming, there's also some problems with it because there's just so many different streaming options and it's just costly to...
Yeah.
If you want to watch...
The average person can't afford to get every single streaming platform.
No, man, we can't.
But that's another thing with Amazon, too. If, like, they get baseball, they got football, they got basketball, and it's all included in your Amazon Prime... And if they bump that up like 20 bucks, you're probably still going to pay your Amazon Prime because a lot of people just pay for that just for the shopping. And then you get the games on top of that too. Like
the one thing that I will say about the MLB is they got to figure out a way to make their MLB TV or like NBA TV has their games too. NFL has their, I forgot what it's called because I never get it.
I don't know. Sunday
Ticket or what? Is that what it's called?
Are you talking about like the app? They have like Sunday Ticket that you get like with like YouTube TV, but there's also they have like something else like just specifically like
just,
I think like on the NFL
play all
app.
The games. But the problem with streaming is if like the Apple TV has the game, it's blacked out on MLB TV, and if they put too many games on Amazon or Hulu or Roku or whatever streaming service you want to talk about, Fox, they play on Fox, but. Then MLB TV is worthless, and that's a lot of MLB TV is the best run app, like streaming service for all the leagues. That's the one thing they have on any of the leagues.
Yeah,
their streaming service is flawless for the most part. And if they take games off for people that subscribe to MLB TV, it's just they're going to lose money on that, and they can't afford to do that because baseball, it's a game where diehard fans are going to tune into parts. most of the game. No one's going to watch 162 baseball games because life gets in the way.
Yeah.
And let's face it, game 31 of 162 probably doesn't have that much importance. You may see something special. You may not. You may not remember it. But maybe you want to tune into 32. Maybe you have time to watch 56 and 57. You know? You get all the options. And if you have those games where you can't tune in because you're blacked out, that's going to turn a lot of people off.
So let me ask you this. Like, I guess I know with basketball and, like, football, the CBA is, it's split. So, like, the players will get, like, a certain percentage of the salary cap. Like, I know the NBA, it's basically, like, 50-50. I think NFL, I think the players get, like, 60-40. But even though it's, like, a 60-40 split, there's so many more players. They don't really get as much except for the quarterbacks. But I guess how does that work with baseball if with them, like, losing out on this ESPN money, like, does that affect, like, the current contracts at all? Or I guess what happens there?
I mean, I'm sure if they don't.
If they don't replace the revenue with anything?
Yeah, if they don't replace the revenue with anything, owners are going to make up excuses on they don't have any money. Blah, blah, blah.
Well, they try to do that during COVID. Yeah, that's what they always say.
They say that about this and that. Like, they say it about the league now. Everybody, Tom Ricketts says the Cubs barely break even every year. That's bull. It's like, this is what the owners do.
There's so many Cubs fans, and the Cubs are dog shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They, all these owners, maybe the Marlins lose money. But you know what? If you put a team on the field that's actually good, people are going to show up. So invest in your team. That's my take. But now it's time to take our shots. Nick, take your shot. Who will be one of the best players in this upcoming NBA draft?
All right. So I think Cooper Flagg will have the best rookie season coming into the NBA next year just because he is the most polished prospect. However, I do think Ace Bailey will have the best NBA career out of all these draft prospects. As long as Ace Bailey doesn't go to the Wizards, because that is where just everyone's career goes to die. As long as he actually goes to, like, a functional organization. I feel like with the skill set he has, he could be an elite defensive player and an elite shot maker as well. I definitely think that he has a chance to be even better than Cooper Flagg is.
Okay. I'm going to take mine. My shot is, watch out for Derek Queen from Maryland. I'm telling you, if it was 2002, he'd be a top two pick. He's good. He's got a little back to the basket game that is kind of, he's going to need to develop a better jumper so he can stretch the floor a little bit, because that's just how the league plays. Derek Queen's good, though. He's got some dog in him. I watched him. Granted, I don't want to, like, debunk my theory by my...
Are you talking about the Nebraska game?
But basically, I've watched him versus Nebraska.
Yeah.
And that's not saying much, but you can tell, you can watch games and you can tell certain players have some it factor in them.
Yeah.
So where this guy's got some moxie, he's got some toughness, he's going to be a good player. He'll at least be a good rotational big guy who can play some defense, knock down some shots. If you need some offense from him, he can do a little post game. And that's a good player. May not have the highest ceiling in this era, but if he develops a shot, watch out. That's my shot.
I guess I heard he's got like a pretty good feel for the game. Like, how are, like, his passing instincts, would you say?
I saw they were good, because the game I watched, the damn team couldn't miss a shot.
Yeah.
They shot like 60% from the field, and just Nebraska was trying. They're a good defensive team, and they just, every shot was going in. Their sliders were 10 to 100. So what I saw was pretty good. I'm sure, I mean, if you go to the top of the Big Ten, maybe Michigan State, Michigan, Illinois, even though they're not that much better than Nebraska, maybe they'll be tougher competition. We'll see in the tournament how they do, because I think unders discussed about college basketball, we can get into this in closer to March Madness when the tournament kicks off. But all the leagues have a different style of play. And you're just going to see something weird's going to happen in the playoffs, where Maryland, the Big Ten team, is going to be matched up against North Carolina. North Carolina's not going to make the tournament. Maryland's going to be matched up against maybe Wake Forest, and they're going to be totally different play styles that they're used to, because they're just different leagues. And we'll see a lot about Derek Queen in the March Madness, probably, if they make a run.
Yeah.
We'll see him play against different...
I think we've learned that can't go too much into what they do, like, just during March Madness, but...
It'll be interesting to see what they do. The Big Ten's like a rugged physical league where they play a little slower. They focus on defense. It's not like the Big East where the Big East, they're basically just like call your own fouls. They just let people hack away. But the Big Ten, there's some toughness to that league that sets you up good for NBA. But you could say maybe the ACC is more of a finesse league and the SEC is...
Well, pace, if, I guess a lot of teams in the ACC like pace and space, but that's kind of more how like professional offenses are run now.
Yeah, so... We'll see how it looks in like tournament in Big Ten tournament too. If he could step his game up even more to lead him to a title or a title run or something like that. But that's my shot, Derek Queen.
Yeah. Well, I suppose that's all that we have today. We'll probably next week's the combine. I guess the combine combine start Wednesday.
I think the actual combine starts Wednesday. I think. We get some media stuff early in the week.
Oh, but too. Like they don't start doing like drills and stuff till like Thursday.
But don't quote me on that.
Okay. Now that sounds right.
But we'll probably go through the combine stuff.
Yeah, we'll probably do a combine probably like next week. Yeah, if we do another pod during the week, we'll probably hit on like probably just more like NBA
or if stay tuned for breaking news. There's always breaking news, and maybe we get on some pop culture lifestyle. We take it down a different path because less stuff's going on. We'll see.
Yeah, but...
But that is a wrap for this week's edition of Take the Shot Pod for Alec. Or for Nick. I am Alec. We will see you next week.